Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, I have a great guest on. We're going to be talking about a lot of different energy modalities. Her name is Rashmi. So, Rashmi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Nancy. It's wonderful to be in America and to be on your show this evening.
You're very welcome. Now, let's do this first. Let's kind of talk about a little bit about who you are, what happened to you at age six, and we'll start from there, and then we'll also end up talking about your book. So it's up to you to let the people know who you are.
My name is Rashmi Kilnani, and I'm a Reiki Energy Master. So I've been teaching Reiki Masters and healers all across the globe, the many systems and streams of universal life force energy medicine for many years. And when I was six, I lived in Cairo and Egypt. And so I have many lifetimes as an Egyptian healer and energy worker. So I had recall of these lifetimes during Egyptian Reiki masteries like Sekhem and Sechem and so on. And then I went on to writing three very powerful books in the last few years. And the one we're going to discuss tonight, I think, is The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, which is a channel book at the request of Babaji, who's an aspect of the Divine Father energies. And I work with the Ascended Masters, and I channel and so on. So it's a book about the healing of the heart, which is quite important now as we move into 2012 and the new energies on the planet.
That's very, very true, and I totally agree with you. When you started, you know, everything happening at age six, did that scare you somewhat, or were you really okay with it?
Well, actually, Nancy, it was till six that I really felt deep connection to Source and knew that I had certain sort of gifts, you know, like being able to talk to animals and connect to the energies of the Great Pyramids around me and so on. And then I moved to London at the age of six, so till nine. My father was the editor of the Times of India newspaper, so he was a correspondent at the time, so we lived in London. And then I went back to India when I was 10. And so, you know, my early life was all on aeroplanes and things like that, and such different cultures. So I sort of grew up, you know, understanding the Muslim culture and then going to Sunday school and going to a convent, and also having the whole of the Hinduism behind me as well. So I had quite a lot of spiritual influence of many, many different streams from a very young age. But at around six, I kind of had a disconnection on some level to that energy that I carried forth from other lifetimes until I became a meditator and started teaching meditation, then became a healer and started teaching Reiki energy mastery. And then with each initiation and through time and through meeting gurus and avatars and enlightened beings, I started having more and more recall.
Do you think that a lot of people come here with those abilities and just like you somehow get disconnected, but a lot of them don't go back to it until a very later age? Do you think that's going on in today's world?
Definitely, Nancy. I feel every single human being comes with other lifetimes and gifts, and particularly, you know, when we're children, we have a lot of deep connection, and then our conditioning, as we know, and the education, etc., make that begin to disappear, you know, until at a certain age, you know, at 20, 30, 40, as the Kundalini energy starts rising again, and depending on each person's soul agendas and paths, if we have initiation and meditate and so on and meet the right teachers, then we are reawakened to a lot of these energies that are always within us anyways.
And again, I agree totally with that. A lot of people, though, have this very strange belief that once they've been disconnected, they have actually lost it. And to get that to come back sometimes is very hard for them because they don't really know who to talk to. And like you said, if they talk to the right people or the right masters or the right helpers, it makes a difference. But a lot of people don't have that opportunity, and they're basically told that you're crazy, you're weird, you're strange, or whatever. And so they lock it even deeper inside. So is there something that you can tell the listeners who have disconnected somewhat and having a very hard time in reconnecting? one of the best things they could do to reopen that connection level?
I think the best thing for every human on the planet now, as the energies are speeding up, Nancy, is to go within, to find time to be quiet, to spend time in nature, to spend time away from the gizmos, you know, and the busyness, because we're not human we are human beings, we're not human doings. And unless we become quiet and silent and breathe deeply, meditate, and spend time in stillness and alone, we can't really hear the soft whisperings of our heart energy, our soul energy, and that unmanifest energy from which all manifest reality springs forth, whether it's our bodies, our reality, our world. And as we do that, then it becomes very much easier to reconnect. In fact, we're always in that zone anyways. It's just all these outer things that distract us from it. Just like a television, you know, if the TV set is off, then you're not connected, but it has the capacity, once you switch it on, to connect to different channels. And the way to switch on is to actually switch off from the outer reality for a while and go within, in safe spaces. And, you know, with teachers where we feel a heartfelt connection and the feeling is good, not just based on credentials and so-and-so is famous or 60 other people are following that person. You know?
Yeah, you said the different Reiki energies that you work with, how are they alike and how are they different?
Well, Reiki means universal life force energy, and so really Reiki covers everything in the manifest reality and the unmanifest as well, because there's a lot of meditation, initiation, and quiet spaces, sacred spaces within the Reiki systems, and it's one of the largest movements in spirituality on the planet. It's one of the greatest gifts that the ascended masters and the higher realms of consciousness are giving humanity now to wake up, because this is, as you know, Nancy, a great wake-up time for everybody. We're mm-hmm. moving into a higher level of consciousness, and most people, one way or another, either through suffering or through intense, you know, every moment of our life is becoming an intense initiation. So the Reiki energy covers everything, whether it's sound, light, vibration, breath, healing, meditation, chanting, and everyday life. Everything is made of energy. We're made of energy. Our manifest reality is made of energy. And when we study the different systems of Reiki, you know, some cover the energies of Kuan Yin, which is a compassionate energy. Some cover the energies of Egyptian Reiki. So each one is it's like the different colors of the rainbow that ultimately mm-hmm. become one energy of light, you know. But they have their different frequencies and levels and intensities and initiations on fearlessness and clearing our stuff before we can reach the next level of understanding of the Reiki energies.
Now, on your website...
I don't know if that's helpful. It's a very broad subject.
No, it is. A lot of people don't understand Reiki energy. They think it's just all made up of just symbols in one way and one way only. And then other people who are a little bit more advanced understand that there are many different levels to Reiki.
Absolutely.
And then there's
it's not just
a lot
about
of
sacred geometry.
No,
it's not just about the symbols.
No, but a lot of people are caught up with that, and
yes.
you know, because I went through Reiki 1, 2, and 3,
yes,
and
yes.
their
so
main
you're a
thing
Reiki
was,
master.
Yeah, but you know, my people who were trying to teach me, you know, they were all caught up with the symbols, and I kept saying, you know, there's a lot more to it than just symbols, you
yes.
know, there has to be, and
absolutely.
Yet they didn't quite agree with me, so they probably didn't like what my outcome was, but it's okay. You know, but I think people need to know that true Reiki is not just those symbols, those sacred symbols that aren't really as sacred anymore as they used to be, because people are kind of using them and abusing them, I think. So I think it's important that people understand that there are more
Absolutely.
To it than just the symbols.
In my book that I've channeled, it's the goddess Hathor speaking as the unconditional aspect of the Divine Mother energies. Having studied everything, I came to simplicity, and to just sending love and light, and through attention plus intention equals manifestation. So there are a lot of politics, unfortunately, in Reiki, and people sometimes stick too closely to methodology, and I can sense very clearly here that you work more intuitively, and this is what I've encouraged all my students, and a lot of my students have been the shepherds, you know, the people that have taken Reiki into hospitals and other countries and work very strongly in all sorts of areas where it's not even, they don't make a big deal of it, you know, they just bring it into law or whatever they're doing. As doctors, nurses, whatever, scientists, and so it's really important to understand that intuitive side of things, and to see that ultimately, as healers, you know, we're not really doing anything. We're mirrors, and the person who comes to us is actually doing their own healing. We create a sacred empty space within which that happens. And so the methodology is wonderful in the beginning, because for a lot of people, as you've been saying, you know, they feel the disconnection, so they don't feel as confident, and they need the methodology, because we know that's what we have in normal education. But at a certain point, one just gets into that feeling space, and then it becomes very shamanic, the whole thing. It becomes very intuitive. And so the Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, which is available on Amazon.com. It's a way that it's a Reiki book that isn't saying it's essentially a Reiki book. It's all about energy and love, and it's the entire Reiki energy mastery system of the many streams of Reiki energy made very simple, very accessible to all sorts of people that may not have even been initiated into level 1, 2, and 3, and then Karuna, and then Sekhem, and then Seishim, and then Rakuke, and original 7 degree, and you know, if you look at my website, it just gives you a headache, really. So many systems.
But yeah, I think it's important that you mention them, because again, you know, people are kind of caught up.
Yes.
And I don't want to say in the wrong direction, but not necessarily in the whole direction. And I think it's important that that be brought up, that it's, like I said, not just a simple thing. There's much, much more to it. Now, also, you talk about breathing and rebirthing. So
yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because, you know, I've done many things, and I've tried to try, you know, everything that I'm going to talk to people about, I try them, so I know what I'm talking about. But a lot of times people misinterpret what rebirthing is. So can you maybe explain that and then talk about how important it is with the breathing?
For any healer, you know, whether you're a Reiki healer, and I teach many other modalities like rebirthing and advanced sound wave energy, etc., that is not to do with the Reiki system as such, you know, sound, light, vibration, and breath, this is what I teach, you know, the people that are going to go out there and create centers and take it into hospitals and various places. And the breath is an absolute key, as we know, you know, if we don't breathe properly, then that's it, you know. And when we're breathing, we're not just breathing in air, we're breathing in chi, reiki, life force energy, prana, subtle energy that remains even when the body dies. We call it etheric energy or ether. It's way beyond the mind. So the breath is extremely important, and Leonard Orr has written the foreword of my book, The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart. He's the father of rebirthing, and both of us have a major guru avatar who is our teacher, who's not in body form at the moment, and his name is Babaji, Mahavatar Babaji. In fact, he and the Divine Mother asked me to write the book, and so I did. And so it was wonderful that Leonard did the foreword of my book, and for a few years I traveled around with Leonard, working on him as with the Divine Mother energies and on some of his groups all over the world. And in rebirthing, we just do 20 interconnected breaths very quickly. And this reverses a lot of, you know, things like you can have immortality, youthing, beauty, de-stressing, emotional body clearing, and so on. So there are many ways in which we can do these, achieve these states, either through, you know, psychic surgery and Reiki or rebirthing. But rebirthing is extremely, extremely powerful. And he's taken, you know, Indian pranayama from the yoga and the yogic traditions, and Babaji has sort of given this format for the Western world, particularly to make it accessible and easy for people to practice emotional body clearing and reaching very, very blissful states, even through, you know, it's almost like hyperventilating, but it just the breath is used, and the divine comes in through the breath, and the breath clears, brings up stuff for healing, and then it clears it. And you just become lighter and clearer and go through blocks, or there may be a regression into a past life, or one might have an incredible experience, spiritual experience, and so on. So in the book, The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, we're discussing many of the key aspects in a very tiny book. It's, you know, very simply put, stuff that I studied for many, many lifetimes, and at least 20 years in this lifetime, you know, to make it so accessible for people, and even for the people that, such as the healers and the teachers of healing modalities, to just re-remember how simple and easy it really is to connect to the heart energies, the soul energies, and wake up to higher consciousness now.
Well, why do you think people have kind of forgotten what unconditional love is all about, and even love in general, but I mean especially unconditional love?
Well, you know, Nancy, as you know, for the last 13,000 years on this planet, we have been in a sleep state, and now we're coming into out of that state, you know, what we call Kali Yuga, into Satya Yuga, which is the age of light, and that's a wake-up time. And in the wake-up time, the energies of love, the energies of unity consciousness, of realizing that ultimately we are part of the unified field of consciousness, and quantum physics is really proving that as well in so many different ways, that a particle can exist simultaneously in several different places at the same time. We are multidimensional. We are one energy that is split up. And in The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, my book, there's a specific chapter on the difference between absolute reality, which is Christ consciousness, where we are all one, and relative reality, in which we are individuals, and how to bridge these two realities that exist within each and every one of us as we live our day-to-day lives.
Which I think is real important for people to understand, because there's a statement at the very beginning of your book, I think it's in the intro part. It says energy becomes what it thinks about. This is the most basic truth of life. So can you maybe explain just that sentence, energy becomes what it thinks about? So people,
this is one of my soulmate Leonard Dole's famous sentences. He puts it like that, actually. But, you know, the way I would put it is attention plus intention equals manifestation. So, you know, our thought energy manifests our reality. Our emotional energy manifests our reality. Our intentionality manifests our reality. And so all these different energies, our thoughts have an energy. Our emotions have an energy. Our silence has an energy. You know, going into the unmanifest states in meditation has an energy from which manifestation becomes extremely immediate and possible. And so this, you know, what we're thinking does manifest, and the universe, as we know, has no judgment. And so if we're thinking, you know, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, then we're just creating that again and again, and we all do it. We all make fall into that hole from time to time. And the trick is not, as that happens, not to judge ourselves. So, you know, judging and not judging the judgment, because that just gives us more of the vicious cycle of judgment. But just saying, aha, here I go again, just shining a bit of an awareness on our thought patterns and saying, you know, I'll change this into a positive affirmation. And in the New Age world, everybody's using all these positive affirmations all the time. And that's great, but just positive affirmation won't do it. The emotional body has to also, you know, the passion has to be there with it, the feeling, the emotion. And The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, is very much dealing with what we knew in Egyptian mystery school, which is that the emotional body is extremely important, and the feeling body is what leads us to the spiritual body, to our intuition, to the gifts that we were talking about, that we all have when we're children, of connection with all that is, with the elements. And the book talks very much about the four elements, you know, earth, water, fire, ether, the five elements, and we're built of these elements, within and without. And as we understand these five elements and thank them within ourselves and outside of ourselves, as we thank our breath and connect to it, as we become aware of our thoughts and our feelings and realize that we are conscious co-creators, and that, you know, within that we're also unconscious and subconscious. In Sekhem, we learn how to give healing immediately on conscious, subconscious, and unconscious levels. And the Sekhem energy goes from the highest God force energy through the crown down to the center of the earth and up through the heart into the hands. It's very in the now moment, whereas the Reiki energy is much more the higher chakras and is not always, it's still within linear time-space continuums. So as we progress on the Reiki path or any form of self-realization path, you know, the siddhis, which are in Sanskrit, the siddhis means the gifts, more and more gifts are given to us. And if we show off about those gifts, or if we misuse those gifts, if we don't use them for the highest good of all concern, within the free will of all concern, then those gifts get taken away, or we have major immediate karma hit us, you know?
And everybody's afraid of that karma. Because they don't know what to expect. In your book,
Do you use your Reiki, Nancy?
I do. I use a lot of different things, but mostly just total energy-based, you know, with love. You know, I'm a very firm believer that if you don't give out love, it's going to be really tough to get it back, number one, and it's going to be really hard to make sure that, you know, what you're really hoping for actually comes out the way it should. You know, so to me, love is very important, and it's hard because, you know, you look around and you see a lot of people who, you know, have lost the idea of love, or they're afraid to love, or they're afraid to feel, and, you know, and because of that, they're halting all of that really good stuff inside themselves. And then you try to help them to break through that so that they can find that inner being, because, again, inner and outer have to match, basically.
That's true.
And most people don't, you know, unfortunately. And there is this change that are coming, and a lot of people are not quite ready for the change. And then there's people who think that they're above the change and that it's going to be real simple. And see, that's not true. You know, and I just kind of take a step back and go, well, okay, you know, and just kind of let it flow. But you did ask a question that I find very interesting, and most people have a very hard time with this particular question. And it's a question from the goddess, and it says, do you have trouble feeling your feelings? A lot of people don't want to feel. So is there something that you could tell the listeners to help them not be afraid to feel their feelings?
A lot of this is beautifully explained by the goddess in the book. And did you feel the energy of love in the book when you read it?
Oh, yeah. It's a great book.
It's not just about the words. It's about the energy of love and the feeling of love.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, feeling is, you know, we all are very afraid of feeling because all of us have broken hearts. And that's why the book has been written now in this time of waking up, because, you know, we've had many, many lifetimes. We have cellular memory of past lives where we've had broken hearts for this cycle of 13,000 years, which has been about separation, limitation, control. And as we, the feeling, you know, what we have to understand is we think our feelings is what's going to kill us. But actually what's going to kill us is not feeling our feelings, because emotion is nothing but energy in motion. And as we allow that energy just to go through without judging it, without repressing and suppressing it, we just give it a space in which to be and then neutralize, particularly the negative, so-called negative emotions. So if we allow a little bit of anger, a little storm here, a little, you know, puff of wind there, then we won't need to have these huge hurricanes and things like that happen on the outside to clear morphogenic anger and morphogenic angst and suppressed emotions. That's what's happening around us now with earthquakes and all the rest of it. If we start having our own little earthquakes and being okay with that, you know, without hurting ourselves and others, obviously in safe spaces, and little by little bringing out whatever it is through you know, vomit writing or releasing anger through painting or dance or music in creative ways. And ultimately, most of those emotions that we judge as negative are is creativity that's gone to to its polarity, which is destruction.
And
so feeling our feelings is just so important, and the book is just covers it from top to bottom on, you know, when is it safe to feel, when is it safe to love, when is it better to you know, show tough love and say no and walk away, and when to open the heart, and how to, you know, to run from teachers that take away our power and say there's only one way, or that we have to follow them for the rest of their our lives. You know, ultimately, each of us has that power, that energy, that love, that connection to source, the wisdom of ages within us. And yes, it's good to have a teacher as a ladder for a while, but a good teacher will always empower us. And that's very much what the Divine Mother Speaks, the Healing of the Human Heart, is talking about, is the goddess is saying, you know, you become your own teacher, and you use the teacher as a ladder, and then at a certain point you let go and come to a new level of mastery of, you know, feeling your feelings, of clearing your emotional body, of connecting to unconditional love. And that starts very much with ourselves, doesn't it, Nancy?
Oh, it does. And a lot of people have a really tough time with that. Like when I'm doing my consultations, I'll tell them, you know, you really have to learn how to love yourself first. And they go, what?
People then immediately say, you know, to us, to you, to me, you know, but how do I do that? I mean, even I've said sometimes to my healers and teachers, you know, I love myself a lot. I make time for myself. I spend time in nature. I get massage. I go for healing. You know, I give myself little presents. But there's always another layer, you know. There's always something more we can do. And the truth is, when we make that quiet time alone to be with our hearts, the heart will then very softly whisper to us when the din of the mind calms down a little bit. And it'll tell us, you know, it's your inner child that needs something right now. Or, you know, for my self-esteem, I need to ring my mom and say, I'm sorry, or I forgive you, mommy, for whatever happened 25 years ago. Or whatever it might be. There's no black and white about these things. It's a moment-to-moment intuitive understanding that comes from within.
Which is very true. The other thing that everybody tends to be worried about, there's a couple things, but we're going to talk about them a little bit at a time, you know, is this the DNA that needs to be awakening. Because a lot of people are sitting there going, well, what is that? You know, I thought I'm okay. You know, which, you know, there's always, like you said, parts that still need to be worked on. So maybe let's talk about the full activation of DNA from the 2 helix to the 12.
Yes, again, in the Divine Mother Speaks, the Healing of the Human Heart, which is available on Amazon.com, we're talking, the goddess talks about the activation from 2 to 12, and many of the higher beings, the Pleiadians, the Syrians, many of the channel books before this book have also talked about these things, you know, Barbara Marciniak, Barbara Han Clow, all those books are wonderful books, the set books as well. And basically, you know, we feel we have two DNA, two helix strands, and we're moving towards 12. And this is just happening because evolution happens, and we're having a major speeding up of evolution at this point, because we're going to reach a place beyond time and space. And that's kind of already happening because scientists know that we can bend time and that we can time travel, and that ultimately time is a malleable sort of thing based on our consciousness and what we'd like to do with it. And there is a space which yogis reach and many other beings where they are in a timeless space and they can transcend birth and death and old age and disease and various things, or reverse these things. And this is not something to be scared about. This is not something to be competitive about, you know, like you have a little cup of tea with some girlfriends and say, well, mine is at 6 and what is yours at, you know. But it's something that's happening for everybody. Obviously, if we have more initiation into higher consciousness and spend more time on self-realization, on meditating on the who am I, on spending time with nature and serving humanity, you know, starting by loving and serving ourselves, and then that love and energy overflows, and then we want to serve and love all of humanity, and we realize as we wake up that we are connected. We're all interconnected. So when people say, well, you're amazing, you've sold your homes, you've given up everything to serve people, then I don't see it in that way. You know, I just see it as everybody is me, you know, and just like the bodhisattvas that have walked on this earth, and we are all bodhisattvas, some of us, you know, we are going to keep working until everybody is released of suffering and comes to self-realization. So it's a very, very exciting time on the planet, and this activation of the DNA is definitely helped through healing, through clearing of conditioning, through letting go of the past, blame, shame, and all of the rest of that, you know, and coming into the now moment, you know. Not just reading Eckhart Tolle and coming into the now moment, but really practicing moment-to-moment consciousness.
Yeah, which is really important because, like you stated a little bit earlier, people say affirmations all day long. Doesn't mean they're going to work. Doesn't mean
they help, but...
yes, but they still have to have that passion that goes with it. Or it doesn't work. Just like, you know, the different things that we're going to be, you know, ascending ourselves to in a very near time. A lot of people are very worried about 2012 and the world coming to an end. Now, I don't buy that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the world as we know it changing, which is what's happening and has been actually happening for a very
Absolutely.
Long time. But I think the media and all those people who go, oh, 2012, has really got people kind of messed up here. So... could you give them a little insight about what to expect from, say, now through 2013 or 14, so we get past 2012?
This is a really broad subject. Even the ascended masters and higher consciousness don't quite know what the outcome of this grand experiment is going to be. This is the first time ever in manifest reality that there's a plan for 7 billion people to wake up to unity consciousness. And so quite what the eventual outcome will be, nobody knows, not even God knows, because God is out making God right now. You know, we are all God. We are all waking up to God, the God, Goddess nature within us, the oneness within us, the possibility to co-create and be multidimensional and to meet our fellow brothers and sisters from outer space. So, what's for sure is that time is collapsing, that we're realizing realities beyond the solid, dense reality that we've known, 3D reality. And many of us are finding ourselves in other time-space continuums, and not essentially through taking ayahuasca and various drugs. You know, I really don't go with that, but I know that a lot of people do, and, you know, I respect different parts. There's nothing to be afraid of, you know. And right now there's two things kicking around, and that's always been the case. And that's what the book, The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, is all about. Everything is either love or fear. And so what do we choose now? For 13,000 years, we've chosen to be very fear-based and then to fight, flight, survival. The new frequencies that are bombarding the planet are the photonic energy. That's pure light. That's not neutrons, protons, and electrons. That's photons, which is light. And this light is intensifying our experiences and making many things collapse for the new to come in. You know, so if we think, I am my relationship, or I am my country, or I am my job, or I am my house, everything is moving and shaking. You know, economies are moving and shaking, the earth is moving and shaking, relationships are changing, you know, everything is changing at a rapid rate until we begin to realize that I am that I am, you know, that it's just really simple. And ultimately, death doesn't really exist, you know, death is a change because energy can neither be created nor destroyed, matter can neither be created nor destroyed. It just transforms to something else. So, being in fear is no good, and the Hathor beings that are very much follow the mystery school of Hathor, and they're in a higher dimension. They very much say that it's not about where is safe on us now. It's about, you know, are we practicing the frequency of joy, the frequency of laughter, seeing the cosmic joke in things, the frequency of love, and if we're doing that, then no matter where we are, we'll be vibrating at the right rate, and we'll be okay. And that doesn't essentially mean that we'll live in this body, but even if we transform to something else, that'll be okay too. And it's really beyond the mind understanding what's going to happen, because we keep saying it's going to happen, and that's in linear time and space. Actually, what's happening is happening right now. It's very the now moment. And isn't everything changing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't you feel that everything is changing?
Mm-hmm. No, I do, you know, and I keep trying to help people understand that they should not really be afraid of the change, because without change, there's not any kind of learning that's done. And yet...
And the old systems have not worked, you know.
No, the old system...
You know, any system based on competition isn't going to work.
No, the old system needs to come crashing down on most categories, in my opinion.
And that might be a relief, actually.
I think it probably will be. The other part that people have a very hard time empowering themselves, because, you know, they think that somebody's usually got something a little bit better than them. They know more than they do. They're prettier than they are. They have more money. The empowerment part, can you explain that a little bit so people understand that it's not where they have to be jealous of somebody else? Because they
this
really
is exactly what we just said, is, you know, this whole competition thing, this whole fight flight, it has to end. You know, we have to realize that the new frequency, I say to everybody, you know, I'm making a film with Neil Donald Walsh and some of the spiritual leaders of this country and the world, and you know, publishing books and all these different things, and I say to everybody around me that if we are creating with a higher perspective, and that's what the book talks about, from a higher perspective of the highest good of all concern, and you know, not just for my country, not just for my house, not just for my this, that, and the other, but for everyone everywhere. And that doesn't essentially mean, you know, becoming a Mother Teresa. We can do that in just simple ways by saying, you know, how can I be more ecologically friendly? Can I do something where somebody else is also helped by this? You know, instead of competing with other Reiki masters, can I cooperate with them, or at least walk away from places where people are competing unnecessarily with each other? And then just simply empower myself by saying, okay, what am I in charge of? I'm in charge of, you know, I can do love and gratitude every day. Thank God for all the things that are good in my life. And the more we do this praise and gratitude thing, the more the universe sends us empowerment, energy, opportunity, synchronicity, love. And then we start vibrating at that frequency of love. Then even if I don't become a great author or a teacher or whatever, just my frequency of being in a particular place, or your frequency, or the listener's frequency, will help to shift everybody in a room or in a country. Or you know, the more of us that we come into that peaceful energy of the within, the more every moment is just a wonderful dance of synergy, synchronicity, serendipity, you know, peace and love and celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think we need all these things and we don't. And we think that we need to be better or bigger than anybody. But the truth is, for the Divine Mother, whether we are an ant, as it says in the Divine Mother Speaks Healing of the Human Heart, or whatever we are, whether we're Mother Teresa or even if we're, you know, someone that's gone to jail, everybody, there is no judgment. And so we have to get beyond what our religions have taught us. And that doesn't mean that we don't have cause and effect. There is a universal law which is cause and effect, which means that if we hurt somebody, there will be, you know, an effect to that. Or if we, you know, break the law, then yes, we might go to jail. But ultimately, we can forgive ourselves, and we can just come into harmlessness and connection. And the more we help each other, but that does start with helping ourselves as well. So there's a lot of New Age people and healers out there that are busy helping everybody. But when it comes to themselves, they won't have healing. They won't look after themselves. They don't make time for themselves. You know, there's all these New Age leaders and teachers that are so stressed out because they don't have a minute to breathe. And they're teaching breathing, for example.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying. In your book, you also talk about how 3D, we're in 3D and actually moving to 5D. So maybe explain that to some of the listeners, too.
3D is, you know, linear time and space, competition, control, the mind. You know, my mind is telling me this and that. The mind is there to doubt and fear and think and analyze and complicate. The mind is wonderful as a computer. Sometimes a computer has its wonderful uses. But you have to learn to be able to switch it off, and I have to learn that now that I've become author of so many books. I switch off the computer, you know. And it's just so important to just, you know, be still. It's just really, really important.
Throughout your book, you have a lot of really great sayings in them. And they go along with the different chapters. But some of the sayings really are very, very important for people to understand. And one is, you know, being who you are and letting yourself be who you are and not regret. So we've already talked about that. And then you mentioned a part about forgiving your parents for what they did maybe 20 years ago. People just need, I think, to learn to forgive in general, whether it's themselves,
yes,
a relative, a friend, whomever. And I think one of the hardest things for people to do is actually to forgive. But I also find that people have a very hard time saying to somebody, I'm sorry, and meaning it.
Forgiveness is just so important, Nancy, for healing. There's no healing without forgiveness. And as you rightly say, forgiving oneself is the key. A lot of the time we can't forgive anybody else because the truth is, we can't, it's too painful to just look at the fact that, you know, we're judging ourselves so much. We're not coming to innocence. And the book, The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, the Divine Mother very much talks about, you know, coming back to innocence, releasing whatever one did and saying, okay, I forgive myself. This is, life is a school and I made some mistakes, but this is the moment of now. And in this moment, I'm innocent and it's okay. And I can learn again, and I can try a different way. And as we learn to forgive ourselves, then forgiving others becomes much easier. And of course, the higher aspect, when you really reach a higher place, is that, you know, for me now, it's almost like who's forgiving who, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The question of forgiveness doesn't even come in sometimes at a certain point, because I just see everybody as one. But that doesn't mean condoning things. It doesn't mean saying yes to everything. It doesn't mean being a doormat. And so it's this wonderful balance between, you know, I may forgive something, but it doesn't essentially mean that I agree that that was okay and that that needs to be repeated again within myself. But one can let oneself and the other person off the hook. And when one does that, actually, the gift comes to oneself every single
mm-hmm.
time. Because, you know, we're just so caught up in all kinds of things, and we can use Archangel Michael to come in and cut negative cords with others and say, I don't know why you did or said the things you did or said to me, but I forgive you and release you in my love. And you may not always be able to do this with the person, as we know, Nancy, but you can just do it sometimes intuitively to the higher self of that person, and then just see those negative cords being cut, and then you bring in maybe Saint Germain to bring in the violet flame of spiritual freedom just to heal that. And that doesn't mean we're cutting the positive cords, and also not to essentially then wait by the telephone to, you know, hear the next person say, I really am sorry, because that may or may not happen. But at least then
mm-hmm.
one is released of negativity and resentment, and then one can come to co-creation in the moment. And the 5D, you were saying earlier, you know, the difference between 3D and 5D. In 3D, we're very much in this linear time, space, and so on. But in 5D, we literally feel this oneness with all that is. We become very intuitive. We just know moment to moment when it's okay to say something or when it's okay to walk away and still have a loving and energy around us. And be able to be in simultaneously in many different levels of consciousness at the same time, and be totally okay with understanding that we can be individuals, but ultimately in the deepest part of us, we are absolute reality. We are one.
We're going to do an attention getter before our time runs out. One of your chapters talks about sacred sex and another opening of the human heart. And you talk about Tantra. a lot. I don't know if a lot of people know about Tantra. I mean, I'm sure they heard about it, and they heard, oh, yes, it's just a sex thing that you can do and enlighten. But that's not truly the whole total value of Tantra. But when you talk about sacred sex, let's talk about that a little bit, because I think people have a very hard time with partners, you know, as they do with themselves. And they have been taught that, you know, things are dirty or it's bad or whatever. So let's open that up just a little bit and talk about that.
In the book, The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, which is available on Amazon.com, the Divine Mother talks about sacred sex. In Egyptian mystery school, we used to connect the heart to each of the different chakras in the body. Now, when you connect the heart to the root chakra and the second chakra, then and you do that when you're having sex, then you bring a very high level of love frequency into lovemaking. And that very much makes it much more sacred. And then if you add the intention that at the time of orgasm or whatever, you take the energy and offer it to the divine, you become one with the cosmos. And this is practiced particularly, well, also in the Eastern world, but in the Western world, you know, as a major technique. But ultimately, it doesn't have to be such a big technique thing as far as I'm concerned, because the goddess sees it in a very simple way, which is you just connect, you know, the lower chakras to the heart. And maybe your partner does, maybe they don't. But if they do, that makes it even more powerful. And the whole thing becomes a much more whole body experience and a cosmic experience. And again, a great praise and gratitude to the divine, which is within the love act, which is very innocent and pure, especially in that space, because you're exchanging such deep electromagnetic energy with each other. And in that moment, there is like a little death, because it's almost like you transcend the self. You know, you everything dissolves in that moment. And if it becomes this sort of divine experience just through intentionality and connection to the heart, then it becomes an absolutely wonderful experience and a very rejuvenating experience. And it enriches the relationship, but it also enriches, you know, the energy for the world, really.
Which, again, is really important as far as energy goes. There's also a part of your book talks about humor. People have lost humor, like they've lost love. How important is humor?
Well, personally, I as Rashmi would say it's everything. Years ago, I met my guru, and she said that, you know, this is the biggest gift you have is your sense of humor. You can laugh at the most difficult things that have happened in your life and see the divine play in it. And don't lose that, because that will take you through life. And she was absolutely right. You know, my father was killed by a servant. I've been through many things in my life, wonderful, and people would love to live the way I do, which is in freedom and joy and love. But there have been challenges. And I think for each of us, particularly now, as everybody's, initiations of moment-to-moment living are going to intensify, and the challenges are going to come on thicker and faster, so that we zap out of mind states and really connect to truth, simplicity, and love, which is what Babaji teaches. It's just so important to have humor and, just to see the lightness and that we are light, you know, even an affirmation like I am the incredible lightness of being. And to see the funny side if we can. I mean, obviously not in a silly kind of way of being inappropriate, but, just allowing that child innocence to come through in our lives. Because every time we're being very serious, that is the mind. And that's going to lead us to division, you know, separation, control, fear, doubt, analysis, complexity. And every time we're doing, you know, deep belly laughter, you know, we're just being like children, not childish, but childlike and innocent and connected, then the humor just totally heals completely. I mean, I've done so many sessions with people where they were expecting to cry buckets, and very often they do, and that's very pure and innocent too. But very often, you know, people get healed through a lot of laughter, and that's wonderful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I think
everything is ultimately not as serious as we make it.
And it shouldn't be, actually.
We bring the energy of the Egyptian goddess Bast. She's the goddess of play. She's the cat goddess of Egypt. And so in the book, we can use the cartouche energies, which is the archetypal energies of the universe, and we can either use the Egyptian ones, or we can change to Celtic or Indian. In Indian, tradition, we have the energy of Krishna, which is very playful. Then we have the Celtic traditions. We could use whatever. And bring in that play energy, or just invoke it, or ask the archangels of play, or the angels of play to come through. You know, it's just so simple. All around us are beings of light and love, and they are us. You know, everybody sort of thinks, oh, the angels are separate from us. You know, we've got to read Dorian Virtue, and we've got to somehow understand how to connect with these angels. Ultimately, it's all within us. We are everything. That angelic energy is within us. The devilish energy is within us. The play energy is within us. Which energy do we want to invoke and co-create the new Lego, you know, castle of our lives? You know, what do we want? That's what the goddess is saying throughout in the book, The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart. Are you now going to choose to co-create heaven on earth, or do you want to continue to create competition and division and war?
No, I'm all for peace, love, and harmony.
Love you, Nancy.
It's so much easier. It really is. Now, you have two more books that are going to be coming out soon. Is that true?
That's right. I've just got the publishing contract from Bob Friedman, who was also the publisher of Neil Donald Walsh's Conversations with God, for my book called The Buddha Speaks to the Buddha Nature Within. It's a really, really powerful book where I'm talking to the Buddha as an ascended master in the here and now about his teachings in 600 BC and the problems of adapting to those teachings in the now moment to my own path and the challenges of my path. And I got my colleague Amravati to also talk about her problems, and then channeled the Buddha's answers. And the energy is extremely powerful. So all three books, the third book is The Divine Father Speaks, Mahavatar Babaji Teaches Us Here Now. And he was mentioned in Autobiography of a Yogi. He taught Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and he is the Shiva energies. So we have the mother energies, the father energies, and the Buddhic energies. And these energies are all, it's not just words in these books. They're very, very high energy. And so I'm really excited. The only problem is there's three of them, and so, you know, 2012 is around the corner, and I was hoping that all three would be out before the end of 2012. But let's see what happens. At least The Buddha Speaks will be out in April 2012 with Rainbow Ridge Books. And I'm also on Facebook with the Divine Mother Speaks fan page, and my own page, Rashmi Kilnani, and there'll be YouTube programs on all three books. And I'm traveling all over the world nonstop, giving Divine Mother initiation, heart initiation, channeling the goddess Hathor, Babaji, and working on soul energy for people of all levels of soul journeying now, because it's time to wake up, and the more we can serve and help each other, the quicker we can have this wonderful energy of heaven on earth, which is already here for us right now, right here.
It is. Our time is just about up. We have about a minute and a half left. So before we run out of time, I would really like to thank you for taking the time, because it was very interesting. And like I said, the book was very good. I suggest that most people get it. It should help them get through a lot of things they are experiencing right now. The other thing is, I'm going to be doing a conference in April, this coming April, and you might want to be a speaker there, so we'll have to talk about that, see if you're interested.
I'd love to do that, Nancy. And my website, the new website, which talks about the film I Got that we're going to produce about unity consciousness and the books and everything else I do, is www.rashmikilnani.com. That's RashmikilnaNi.com.
And why don't you give out your other website, too?
And the other one is www.reiki-energy-mastery.com. And RashmiKilnani.com will take you to ReikiEnergyMastery.com as well.
Okay, great. What I'll do is probably give you a call after we hang up so I can tell you a little bit more about everything. But again, I would like to thank you for being on the show. It's been my pleasure to have you as a guest.
Thank you so much. And the Divine Mother energies are being sent out right now for all those within free will and the higher good that wish to receive some energy for their hearts.
Great. I thank you very much. You have great rest of the day.
Thank you. Talk soon. Bye.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank you, the listeners. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Take a few notes. Listen to what she had to say. By all means, get her book. It is actually very good. So may God bless all of you. Have a great week, and we'll talk again next time. Take care. Bye now.